Well, this morning we're going to look at a mom in Scripture. And this mom is probably no different than most moms. But I don't want you to turn me out if you're a dad or if you're not a mom, because her story really relates to all of us. Because in her story, I imagine she felt like she felt unnoticed. And there are times I think that we all go through that, where we feel like we're not being seen or we feel unnoticed. This morning, I believe her story will minister to us all. You know, when we were kids growing up, we probably at some point or another looked at our mom or our aunt or our grandma, whoever was raising us, and said, "Hey, mom, look at what I'm doing. Watch me," right? And we did something crazy or something foolish, or and your mom or your aunt or someone looked at you and went, "Oh, that's so good. We're so proud of you." And it wasn't anything really big, but you know, you wanted somebody to see you and notice you. Every morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, my grandson calls me just to tell me something that he has done, so that he can get noticed, so he can be seen. So we do this little FaceTime, and he's in the car driving, and he's telling me or showing me something. Yesterday it was a Matchbox car, but it doesn't matter. He's going to tell me bright and early in the morning whether I have to get up and answer the phone for him, but it's cool. Why? He wants to get noticed. Because there's something in all of us that wants to be seen. This morning we're going to look at the story of Hagar. It comes from Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 through 16. And just give me a moment. I'm going to read the story in its entirety. Then we'll just take time to just get a few thoughts from it today. "Now Sarai," that's Sarah, "and Abram," who would later be called Abraham, his wife, "had not been able to bear children for him. But she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, 'The Lord hath prevented me from having children. Go sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her.' And Abraham agreed with Sarai's proposal. So Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abraham as a wife. This happened 10 years after Abram had settled in the land of Canaan. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress Sarai with contempt. So Sarai said to Abram, 'This is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, and now she is pregnant. She treats me with contempt, and the Lord will show who's wrong, you or me.' And Abraham replied, 'Look, she's your servant, so deal with her as you see fit.' Then Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside the spring of water in the wilderness along the road of Shur. And the angel said to her, 'Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from and where are you going?' 'I'm running away from my mistress Sarai,' she replied. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, 'Return to your mistress and submit to her authority.' Then he added, 'I will give you more descendants than you can count.' And the angel also said, 'You're now pregnant and will give birth to a son, and you're to name him Ishmael, which means God hears. For the Lord has heard your cry of distress. This son of yours will be a wild man, untamed as a wild donkey. He will raise his fist against everyone, and everyone will be against him. And yes, he will live in open hostility against all his relatives.' Therefore, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who has spoken to her. She said, 'You are the God who sees me.' She also said, 'I've truly seen the one who sees me.' So that well was named Beer Laroi, which means 'the living one who sees me.' It can still be found between Kadesh and Berdid." Abraham had a son, and Abraham named him Ishmael. And Abraham was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. In this story we read about a young woman by the name of Hagar. And Hagar was an immigrant from Egypt who became a slave to Abraham or Abram's family. She was running away from her household because her body was used to produce an offspring for an infertile couple. Hagar was mistreated by her mistress. She was trapped in a system where she felt she was invisible. She felt like she had no right, she had no dignity, she had no freedom, she had no choice in any decision that she made. And she finally had enough. Finally, out of desperation, she runs away because she couldn't take it anymore. The abuse and the pain was too much. She felt scared. She felt lonely. She felt unloved. She wondered in despair, does anyone even care about me? Does anyone even care about me or even my unborn child? It would seem that Hagar doesn't know what she wants. But I know what she doesn't want. She doesn't want to be treated as a non-person, someone who's invisible. I think we can all relate to Hagar. Because perhaps in some situation or another, you experience maybe fear like I have, or loneliness, or feeling like you're not being seen or not being noticed. Maybe you're on the job and no one seems to care or notice the work that you're doing and the hard work you're doing. Or maybe it's a situation where, man, you've lost your job or lost your home and you're wondering, you know, does anybody see? Does God even know who I am? Or maybe a friend has hurt or betrayed you. Or maybe you're that mom in the home and after another load of laundry, does anybody notice what I do? Does anybody care about me? Well, in this story, we realize that God does care. And she cried out and she said, do you see what I'm going through, God, and how bad it is? The answer to all those questions is yes, he does. Yes, he does see. Going back to verse 13, thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who has spoken to her. She said, you are the God who sees me. You're the God who sees me. She also said, I've truly seen the one who sees me. You may wonder, out of billions of people on the planet, does God even know who I am? Does God even know my address? Does God even know my name? Does he know who I am? God does see you, and he does know you. An individual, you are known by God. He knows even the number of hairs on your head. And when one falls off, he notices it. He even notices and knows your name. Matter of fact, Scripture says he's taken our names and he's engraved them into the palm of our hand. You know, Russ, that's even a deeper mark than a tattoo. To engrave means it's permanent. It can't be erased ever. It's engraved in his hand that he knows us. Scriptures tell us that he formed us and that we are fearfully and wonderfully made and that all his works are wonderful. He loves you so much that he sent his only son, Christ, to die a horrific death so that you and I could have relationship with him, so that our sins could be forgiven. Now, you're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, he loves us so much that he came, he died for us, he's called us, he has a plan and a purpose for our life, that we're not just taking time up on the planet, but God loves us, and he sees us, and he knows us. That's how much you're known by God. And not only does he know you, he also knows your name. She said, have I truly seen the one who sees me? Not only did she realize that God saw her, but she saw God. And that's amazing in itself. There aren't too many women or men in the Bible who saw God. And you didn't see God and live through it. And she saw God and lived through it. She wasn't a person of great stature. She was a servant girl. And yet she saw God. Out of all the ladies in the Old Testament, I believe she has the longest conversation with God of any of them, which is interesting. You see, God knew in a short time that Sarah's womb would open and there would be a child coming. Abraham was 86. When Abraham turned 99, Isaac was born. It was all going to come about by God's plan. So in actuality, did God even need to see Hagar? No. But he did. Because God cared about her. Because God loved her. Because God demonstrated his grace to someone who had no benefit, quote, to him. And isn't that how God is with us? He demonstrates his grace to each one of us in the same manner. You see, God could not turn his back on her because every one is a child that he has created. And every one of us matters to him. He's a God who sees you. But not only is he a God who sees you, he's a God who knows your name. You know what's interesting in that story as we're reading through it? I believe it was in verse 2, verse 5, and verse 6. When Abram and Sarai or Sarah talked about Hagar, they never called her by name. Go back and look at it. They called her your servant or my servant. They never even mentioned her name. If God would not have mentioned her name, we wouldn't even know who she is today. But let me tell you, you know what that tells me? That all that servant girl was to Abram and Sarai was a piece of property that had no real value. All they wanted to do was use her body to have a child. Can you imagine what that must have felt like to Hagar? That they don't even know or even use my name. But you notice when God spoke to Hagar, the first thing he did in verse 8 says, then the angel said to her, and by the way, in verse 7, if you look at the scripture before, it says, the angel of the Lord, and Lord is capitalized, L-O-R-D. And anytime in the Bible you see it capitalized, that means this is no angel. This is Jesus here. And Jesus, the first time he spoke to her, he said, Hagar. He called her by name. When no one else cared enough to show the decency to use her name, God did. Up until this point in the narrative, we don't even know if Hagar even knew who God was. But God knew who she was. And God knew her by name. And he showed her the respect. It's the same with you and me. God knows us by name. The Bible says that he knows his sheep and calls them by name. That God knows our name. Furthermore, if you're in Christ and you have believed in his name and accepted his free gift of salvation through faith, then your name is immortalized forever. Because it's written in a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. And there your name is. And though your friend may forget your name, Patrick, God doesn't. Right? God has Patrick's name written in the eternal book, the Lamb's Book of Life. And when he gets to heaven, he won't be looking for his wife to find out his name. He won't be looking around going, well, who's he again? No, he's going to know right away. He's just going, Patrick, my son, welcome home. He's going to call you by your name because he knows you. Remember the story of Hagar. Out of gratitude, God is given a name by her. Matter of fact, every name in the Bible, like Jehovah Jireh, whatever name you want to put, was given by God to describe himself. Hagar is the only one who named God in the Bible. And she calls him God Elroy. And that name means the God who sees me. Isn't that pretty cool? He's a God who sees you, and he's a God who knows your name. He's also the God who sees you through every situation. In verse 7, the angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road of Shur. And the angel said to her, "Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai," she replied. I love the fact that God came to Hagar, that God found her. Why? Because he knew that she was in trouble. So he came to her and is coming and asking her, "What's going on? Tell me your side of the story." He knew the story, but he wanted to hear it from her. He wanted her to share her side of the story so that she could lay her burden down. As a chaplain, many times I'm with people and I know what has happened. I know what has taken place, but I want to hear it from them. So when I call them or I'm there with them, I'll say, "Tell me what happened." So they have the opportunity to share their story and put it in their words. Hagar began to share her situation. God's not blind, he sees. One commentator said this, "Jesus knows us fully. He knows every nook and cranny of us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He also knows suffering on an intense and personal level. He meets us in our downcast state and pours out his grace upon us." Not only does God see you, not only does God know your name, not only does God know your situation, he knows your need. In verse 11, "And the angel also said, 'You are now pregnant and will give birth to a son.' He sought her out and arrived at the moment of her greatest need." She ran away. She has nowhere to go. She's pregnant and is about to have a child soon. If she doesn't get help soon, she's going to die. And so were her son. At her greatest point of need, there was God, because God had not forgotten her. In Psalms 147:3, this is what we know about God. He's the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. God ministered to Hagar and brought peace to her soul. In the Bible, it also says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. That word "never" is in the negative tense three times. It's really this: I will never, never, never leave you or forsake you. It's written in both the Old and the New Testament because it's a promise that God makes to his children, that he will never leave us or forsake us, even in times of our greatest need. He will also meet our physical need. I think Kathleen already read the scripture, but in Matthew it says this: "Don't be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they?" We ought to give God praise because God sees us. He knows our situations. I can't help when I read that verse, but think, I want to just tell you this real quick story, but when it was a time when, man, we were running a food ministry that fed lots of people every week, and we didn't have enough money for that next part of getting the next food for that coming week. And we'd have about 90 families that would show up every Wednesday to feed. And so I was sitting in my office on a Tuesday, and I was just, God, this is not fair. We don't have money. I need money. I need help to feed these families. Where's it going to come? And I was looking outside the window, and this bird came flying by, and it found this little worm and went back up. And it wasn't like early in the morning, because I always thought the birds got the worms early in the morning. This is like 2 p.m. And I'm thinking, God, if you can provide for the lazy bird at 2 p.m, then God, you're going to take care of me. It wasn't long before this older lady came in, and she had written on a napkin and handed $300 to one of our ladies that was working the food area and said, this is for your ministry. She didn't have the money. She was one of the ones who were helping. But for, she said in her letter on her little napkin that for over a year, I've been putting in just a little bit back, so that one day I can give this to you to help you. Don't tell me that God doesn't see us and meet our need. We have a great God. He deserves all the praise. He's a God who sees. Yes, give him praise. He's a God who knows our name. He's a God who knows our situation. He knows our need. And lastly, he's a God who hears. The angel also said, you're now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You're to name him Ishmael, which means God hears. For the Lord has heard your cry of distress. Several years ago, my oldest daughter was going back to college. And that time she was going to USCB, which is in Bluffton, South Carolina. So she had left early to go down and on a Sunday afternoon. And we had told her goodbye and all that, and she got in the car and was driving. On her trip down, somehow, it wasn't her fault, but her car ran off the road on 95, and it was a convertible, and it flipped completely upside down and was in between the median. If you know 95 and that stretch is around Ridgeland, there's a lot of trees right in the middle. And she saw the tree, and so she jerked the car back, and that's when it went upside down, and it just went whoosh. Lots of people stopped to help. One of the men who stopped was a UPS driver. He got to where she was in the car and found out that she was alive and still able to communicate and talk. And he says, I already called 911. Who do you want to call? And he says, will you call my dad? So he called me. Why? Because she's a daddy's girl. And every daddy's girl wants to talk to their dad when they're in trouble. Hagar became a daddy's girl because her daddy came to her rescue in her time of need. Can I tell you, whether you're a girl or a boy, or male or female, you have a heavenly father you can call upon, who is there, who will hear you when you pray. Now, the crazy thing about the story was, when he called, I didn't know my phone was ringing. I was in the middle of a service on a Sunday night. We were doing a prayer service at that point. We were praying at that point. And my phone was ringing. I didn't know, but I was up here. And as I was leading the prayer time, we got to the point where we were praying for needs. And I was literally praying for her because she has a lot of things going on that semester. We were praying for her, but I couldn't answer the phone. Sometimes we don't have a Heavenly Father or an earthly father we can get to. Maybe we didn't have a great earthly father. But I tell you, your Heavenly Father is nothing like your earthly Heavenly Father, even though he may have been a great guy. Because God is always there and available. We can call on him 24/7. Hagar found out that she could call upon God, and God was there for her. But let me tell you, yes, he's a God who sees you. Yes, he's a God who knows your name. Yes, he's a God who knows your situation. Yes, he's a God who knows your needs. And yes, he's a God who hears you when you pray. But none of that means anything at all if you don't see him. None of that matters if you don't do like Hagar and look up for God and see God. He is your salvation. Man, we honor moms. We talked a lot about moms today, but I want you to get the thought that we're here only to honor moms. We're here to worship our Savior. And if you don't see Jesus, everything else is pointless. Nothing else matters. He is our Savior. He is the one that we look to. He's the one we cry out to. This morning, man, if you're here today and you haven't seen Him and you haven't looked up to Him and said, Jesus, I want to invite you into my life, look, you need to do it because we're not promised tomorrow. Right? We don't know what tomorrow may bring. Today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. Because, man, I've done way too many funerals for people who are too young to die. When they got up that morning, they had no idea that would be the day that they died in a car wreck. Or that would be the day that a stranger shot them. And we've had those funerals in here. Because nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. Don't put it off. It's the greatest gift there is. And if I scare you into heaven, I'm glad I did. Because you need to be there. Don't miss out, right? But if you know God, then today we look up to Him. And what do we see Him doing? We see Him kneeling and interceding for us. For He sits at the right hand of the Father and He makes intercession on our behalf. So today, whatever I'm going through, whatever I'm facing today, I can look up and see the God who sees me. See the God who knows and understands my situation. Who is a God that when I see Him, He's going to give me grace. And He's going to give me mercy in my time of need. What's interesting about that story is that God told Hagar to go back to Abraham and Sarah. But she went back a different person. She went back knowing that God saw her and that God was with her and that God would help her. When you look up and you see God, sometimes all you need to know is that God sees me. Close with this. When years ago, when I was a youth pastor, and we were taking a group of kids to camp, and we had about four or five cars, and we were driving up to camp. As we were driving up to camp with some kids, I had some kids that were really rough in my car, because being a youth pastor, you put them in your car. And they were just being ornery and rough that day. And as a matter of fact, I had to get rid of some cigarettes and things like that on the way up. And it was just one of those days. So I'm driving around thinking, God, I can't do this anymore. I'm tired of doing this. God, get me out of this. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm whining, you know, complaining. And on top of that, we had a flat tire. I had to get out, change a flat tire. And all these kids are all seeing, all the cars pull over. They're all watching me. Nobody volunteers to help me. I'm getting out trying to change this tire. I change it. We get driving down the road. We get all the way to camp, getting the kids out. And I'm mad. I don't know. Somebody said something. We got it pulling in there or something. And I got out. I just wanted to slam that door. You know, I just wanted to slam it real hard. So as I went to slam it, only time I ever heard like a voice, where it said, Lee, you're my son, and I love you. And I shut the door. And then I went and looked at my car, and on my wheel, I'd only put on two nuts. The tires should have fallen off because they weren't even tight. I was so angry, I couldn't even see straight to put the tire on correctly. And yet, from Lawrence all the way out to Possum Kingdom, if you know where that's at, that car went around all these curves and that tire didn't come off. That's a miracle. Because that could have been bad for me and those kids. In my foolishness, God loved me. In my stupidity, God loved me. He showed his grace to me. I'm going to tell you, if you're his child, he didn't take me out of being a youth pastor anytime soon. I still had to do it for a few more years. But I tell you what, he was with me, and it changed my whole attitude. And that week ended up being one of the best weeks of camp. Because he changed me. Whatever you're going through, I'm not promising you that God will deliver you out of your situation. He may. Because as we sung, he's a God who heals. He's a God who delivers. He's a God who sets free. But even if he doesn't, I'm going to keep looking up to him, because I know that he's going to help me through. He will be with me. He won't leave me or forsake me. And like Hagar, we can hold on to him.